Hallelujah. The hour is here. I've been dreading all week. some of you, there's Becky, there's Edwin, Eugene and Mark, and I think Janet and Joan. They were the only ones that were here when I used to speak here years ago. And they always say, don't they, you know, if you don't use a muscle, you lose it. And I've had to really dig deep this week to reignite what God did in me years ago in order to get this ready. And having listened to last week's word from Becky, I mean, I was awed by the way she brought it across. It was just amazing. I'm sorry, Beck, but that's been on my mind all week. And I think, I can't be that good. But the Lord has dealt with that in me, you know, and he said, you know, we all have gifts. You know, we have the gift to speak or to preach, but each gift is unique to each person, and each person delivers that gift in a different way. And mine is going to be very different this morning. So if we can just pray for a minute. Thank you. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank and praise you for this morning. I thank you for the worship time. Holy Spirit, I thank you for just pouring out that spirit of worship into our hearts so that our praise and worship can rise up to God and bless his heart and just give him joy and pleasure in us. And so, Lord, as I come to speak your word this morning, I pray that, Holy Spirit, you would anoint me afresh today, that you would use my mouth to speak to my brothers and sisters here. Lord, I believe that it is a word from you, and I just want to share that word now. And I ask that for each one of us, Lord, that you would open our ears to hear this word, that you would open our eyes to see what you want us to do through this word, and that you would open our hearts to receive that word into our hearts. Our desire, Lord, is to please you and to do your will, and in order to do that, we need to hear you speaking to us. So, Lord, speak to us through the word this morning as I give this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, when I have to read by my script, because as you get older, words disappear out of your mind, and I could be standing here in a sentence, and I'm looking, it'd be 10 minutes before I find the word to speak. So I shall be speaking from the script, occasionally diverting. You know, when Nick asked me if I would speak this Sunday, and I was thrilled, because the Lord had already given me a word a few weeks ago to bring. And as whenever I used to speak before, I used to wait on the Lord for him to give me a word. And it was his word to me. But when Nick asked me to speak, he says, I want you to speak on this. So I thought, oh, okay. I had to sort of go back to the Lord and say, Lord, I need you to give me a word for this, because he asked me to speak on prayer, to find a scripture in, welcome brother, to find a scripture in the Bible to expand on. And you know, when I first began to speak years ago, the Lord said to me at that particular time, I don't want you to speak about anything I've not done in your life or I'm not doing in your life. So I said, okay, Lord, I need a prayer from you that has been in my life. And, you know, it seemed like an easy task to do to begin with. And because I remember a few prayers that I know from the Bible, like the prayer of Jabez or the Thanksgiving prayer in Ephesians 1, the prayer before Becky's last week, or the prayer Jesus prayed in John 17. And these are just to name but a few. But, you know, when I actually came to research for a prayer, do you know there are over 650 prayers in the Bible? And I said, okay, Lord, which one is it? And And as I was waiting, I just felt the Holy Spirit prompt me and say, look for one that relates to your life. So that's what I've done. And the more I thought about it, the prayers of Hannah came to my mind. You know, her first prayer came from brokenness and desperation, while her second prayer came from thanksgiving and praise and acknowledging God's goodness and faithfulness and provision to her. And because I can relate to all of these emotions, that's the prayer I've chosen for my theme this morning. Because there are many types of prayers that we pray. And I want to have a look at two types of prayer this morning that we find in the prayers of Hannah. The first type of prayer is the prayer of petition, where we petition God for something. And this type of prayer needs to come from the heart and in a spirit of humility. Hannah's reason for the first prayer is that she's barren. And in those days, it was a humiliating thing to not be able to bear children. And she was one of two wives, and the other wife, Peninnah, had children. And she continually ridiculed Hannah for not having any. And so here we find Hannah in the temple at Shiloh at the end of herself. And she's pouring out her anguish and her grief before the Lord. We don't need hear everything that she says, you know, but we know that she's in anguish. And if you've been in anguish crying out to God, you know where she is. I have. So 1 Samuel 1, verse 10 to 11. Thank you, Nick. He asked me to do it, but I couldn't. In deep anguish, she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to Yahweh, weeping bitterly. She vowed a vow and said, Yahweh of armies, if you will indeed look at the affliction of your servant and remember me, and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a boy, then I will give him to Yahweh all the days of his life, and no razor shall come on his head. You know, this woman, she was at the end of herself. She was heartbroken, pouring out her misery to the Lord. But then she changes tack, and she makes a vow that if God gives her a son, she will give him back to the Lord. Now, I've been where Hannah was under different circumstances, but the prayer was the same. And I just want to share a little bit of that time. In 1980, I'd been a Christian for 7 years prior to this, and in 1983, I walked away from the Lord. And I won't go into all the details of that. Suffice it to say that during the next 8 years, my life became unbearable because of my decision to walk away from the Lord. And I can look back today and see God's hand in it all. I had turned my back on him, but he had not turned his back on me. He was prepared to do whatever it took to bring me back to himself. Now, at the end of 1992, I began to experience severe pain in my lower back. It lasted around 3 months, but for the last 3 weeks of which I was totally bedridden, unable to walk, having lost all sense of feeling in my left leg, and I came to the end of myself. All I could feel was the pain. I was on pethidine injections every other day, which although relieved the pain for a while, it made me violently sick. And I came to the point where I thought I was going to die. I had come to the end of myself. And so the only way to turn was to God. And that's the same for all of us. So finally, on Sunday evening, I lay in bed, and for the first time in nearly 10 years, I prayed to God with the same desperation, the same anguish, and with almost the same words that Hannah prayed. I shared my fear with him, my pain with him, my misery with him, telling him he was my only hope. And then I said, Lord, if you take this pain away and heal me, I will come back to you and give the rest of my life to you. The next day was a Monday, and when the doctor came to give me my injection, he said, I think we better get you an appointment to see a specialist at the hospital. And I got the appointment on the Thursday. I had an MRI scan which revealed that I'd got two collapsed discs which was pressing on my sciatic nerve. And they said that I needed surgery as soon as possible because there was a possibility that the sciatic nerve may be permanently damaged, which meant that I would not regain feeling in my left leg. And I had the operation the following morning. He works quick when you ask him to. As I was in the pre-op room getting ready to go under, I prayed again. Lord, I commit myself to you right now. Please protect my life and bring me through this time. There's nothing more terrifying is that they've been having an operation, being there and other people have got control of your life and there's nothing you can do. But I just reminded myself and I spoke to God. And I said, please protect my life and bring me through this time. I promise as soon as I'm able, I'll return to church and I will live the rest of my life for you. And as you can see, the Lord answered my prayer. And I have honoured my promise to him. He's the Lord of my life and I will follow him for whatever is left of it. Amen. You know, I still have times, people know, where my back just gives in on me for a while. But, you know, Jacob, when he wrestled with the angel of the Lord, he walked with a limp for the rest of his life. But that was to remind him of what God had done on that day. And that's what I feel, because he always reminds me of who I am, who God is, and what he's done for me. So when God allows us to suffer, it brings us into a place of throwing ourselves totally on him, trusting him to bring us through to a better place. Hallelujah. Amen. God had a purpose for Hannah. She came to a place in her life where she humbled herself and petitioned God for help. And when she'd finished pouring out her prayer and petition, the Lord spoke to her through Eli, the prophet, in verse 17. Eli answered, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. And when she heard those words, she walked away with a sense of peace and a faith that believed God would give her a son. And as I was going under the anaesthetic, I had a sense of peace that God had heard my petition. And he would get me safely through the operation, which is done. So what can we learn from this? You know, when we're in a situation that is overwhelming, we need to humbly come to God with everything in faith, believing that when we ask him, he will answer us. You know, Jesus tells us in Mark 11, verse 24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Jeremiah 29, verse 12 to 13 says, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I want to encourage us all, me included, to pray with the heart, not the head. God has promised he will be found. He will answer. And he, all his promises are yes and amen. Okay, so moving on to the second prayer, which is the second theme. It's thanksgiving and praise. And I think we did an amazing job this morning. All those songs just lifted my heart and it was just wonderful. But you know, this type of prayer comes from a heart full of gratitude and thanksgiving. A heart that recognizes who God is and how he loves us. You know, many of the 650 prayers are prayers of thanksgiving and praise. When we think of the Psalms, we think of poetry and songs. But many of them are David pouring out his heart to God in prayer and thanksgiving. Sometimes when I feel I don't have words to express myself to God, I find one of the Psalms and I speak them out in the first person. I find that as I'm speaking, my heart is lifted and God is glorified. Thanksgiving prayers are always focused on God, which is what you were sharing earlier. God is our focus in worship and praise and in prayer and thanksgiving. So let's have a look at Hannah's prayer of thanksgiving in chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. You know, it's so important when God answers our prayers to come before him with a thankful heart, to acknowledge not only what he has done, but also in who he is. So often when prayers are answered, we say a quick thank you and think that's enough. But sometimes, I'm not ready for that yet quite, Nick. But sometimes we even forget to thank him at all. Sad but true. So another time that I can recall and as an example of my own life, I was going down the M5 motorway some years ago and it was raining very heavily. Thank you. I was travelling behind an articulated lorry and the spray was affecting my vision. I made the mistake of pulling out to overtake the lorry. And as I was moving alongside, the spray was coming up over the windscreen from the lorry, but the torrential rain was pouring down across the windscreen so heavily that even on the fast wipe, it was not clearing my windscreen. I could not see where I was going. And for 30 seconds, which seemed a long time, I was driving blind. And all this time was happening, I was so afraid. And all I could do was pray, Lord, please help me. Please get me through this safely. Don't let me die. Obviously, he didn't, I wouldn't be here today. But you know, I spent the rest of my journey down to Bristol with my heart bursting with love, gratitude and praise for his delivering me from a fatal accident. I couldn't shut up. Oh, thank you, Lord. And in this prayer, we see the heartfelt gratitude of Hannah. Verse 1. Thank you. Hannah prayed and said, my heart exults in Yahweh. My horn is exalted in Yahweh. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. Here, she is rejoicing in the fact that God gave her a son. She's acknowledging that it was his strength that lifted her above those who scorned her. Because the horn in scripture, it's a symbol of strength, right? And so we need to know and acknowledge that God is our strength. Verse 2. There is no one as holy as Yahweh, for there is no one beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. She says here that the Lord is holy. He's set apart. There's no one like him. He is her rock. To each one of us is our holy God. There is no one like him. And he is our rock. Verse 3. Don't keep talking so exceedingly proudly. Don't let arrogance come out of your mouth. For Yahweh is a God of knowledge. By him actions are weighed. For here, I have to go to Proverbs here, because Proverbs 10:19, it says, sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongue. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. It's good to remind ourselves that humility is better than pride. And that God hears every word we speak and sees every deed that we do. You know, Proverbs is a very good book to read for instructions on how to live a life pleasing to God. Because in verse 4, where it says, the bows of the mighty men are broken. Those who stumbled are armed with strength. God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Proverbs 3:44. Verse 5. Those who are full have hired themselves out for bread. Those who are hungry are satisfied. Yes, the barren has borne 7. She who has many children languishes. You know, even when we have everything that we need, even when we're strong, we should still stay humble before him, because all that we have, he gives us, and he can just as easily take it away. Verse 6 to 8a now. Yahweh kills and makes alive. He brings down to Sheol and brings up. Yahweh makes poor and makes rich. He brings low. He also lifts us up. He raises up the poor out of the dust. He lifts up the needy from the dunghill to make them sit with princes and inherit the throne of glory. For that's it, because I leave that up there. I just want to leave it at that point. He holds the power of life and death. He can bring down and he can raise up. God's hand is on every part of our lives. When we're low, he's there to lift us up. We must not exalt ourselves. We should always walk in humility before him and before others. Verse 8b, which is, for the pillars of the earth are Yahweh's. He has set the world on them. God is the creator of all the earth and everything on it. Though at times it doesn't seem like it. God is in control of everything and everyone, working out his purposes and his plans. Verse 9a. Oh, is that it? Yes. He will keep the feet of his holy ones, but the wicked will be put to silence in darkness, for no man will prevail by strength. He guards our lives and he keeps us from harm. Psalm 3:3 says, But you, O Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. Hallelujah. Verse 9b. Here again, we are reminded that it's not by any power that we can muster in the flesh. It's only by his strength. Zechariah 4:6 says, the Lord says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. And God has put his Holy Spirit into each one of us. He will carry us through anything and everything that the world can throw at us. Amen. Verse 10a, those who strive with Yahweh shall be broken to pieces. He will thunder against them in the sky. Yahweh will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. This is in just two parts. 10a, he says, the Most High will thunder from heaven and the Lord will judge the ends of the earth. You know, when we ask the Lord to help us, it's not enough for us to believe that he has the power to intervene. We also have to believe that he will use his power to deliver us from whatever it is that we are petitioning him for. When I read this verse, it reminded me of the saying, moving heaven and earth to get something done, and that's what he does. When we come with a humble and heartfelt plea to God, he will move heaven and earth to answer us. Whatever the answer is, it will always be to give us a hope and a future, to quote Jeremiah 29. In verse 10b, this section where it says, he will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Verse 10b, this section of the verse is referring to the coming Messiah, the anointed one. Just for your information, this is the first time in the Bible that Jesus is referred to as the Messiah. In Luke 1:69, when Zechariah saw the baby Jesus, he quoted this verse from Hannah's prayer. And again in Luke 1, verse 46 to 55, Mary, in her prayer of thanksgiving and praise, quoted many of the verses from Hannah's prayer. So, in conclusion, I hope that what I've shared with you this morning has blessed you and given you food for thought concerning how we petition God in our time of need. I personally have learned some new things, like giving God thanks and praise before, during, and after prayer, by praying with my focus on him and not the problem. Amen. We need to pray with our hearts, not with our minds. And I think the verse I quoted from Jeremiah sums it up quite nicely. Then when you call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, you will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you. And this is how we get God's ear, folks. I just want to finish with a quote that I found during my research, and it was defining how those in the Bible prayed, being an example of those in the Bible prayers, those who prayed the prayers in the Bible, get that right, should be an example to us. Because every one of them, they prayed with fire. And their prayers didn't just change their lives. And sometimes they changed history. Now you may be facing your own battles today. But the same God who parted the sea and shut the mouths of lions is still listening. And if you pray as they prayed, you too will see heaven move. Let these prayers become your blueprint. Learn them, declare them, and step into the same power that still lives through the word. Amen. 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 God bless you, and thank you for listening.